You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
I love technology. I'm all over it. I've got iPads, I've got iThings, I've got... But I'm telling you, the written Word of God in a book form, remember these things? Is really good. There's lots of reasons why. There's no hyperlinks, there's no pop-ups. There's no places you can click to. And like you can pick up the Word of God here. Like this is unique. What I fear, I'm not going to get too far, I'm a hobby horse. I can access the Word of God on here, easy. But I can also access everything else. And somehow the words of God get lost in the words of social media and newspaper, right, whatever you access on here. There's something distinct and holy about this book. So if the person next to you is on a phone, just give them a nudge. Tell them to bring the real thing. It's not like you do access the words of God for sure. But there's something about your own paper copy of the Word of God and bring it to church. Let's hear the rustling of paper again. Anyway, end of pastoral plug. Let's come to the book of Acts. You know, Acts really is, there's a bit of debate out there, of course, but Acts of the Apostles, who are the key people driving this thing, or it could be Acts of the Holy Spirit. But what we see is this incredible take-up of the mission of Jesus that we see in Matthew 28, to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's what they're doing. They're picking up this book and they're going, let's go for it. They're picking up the message of Jesus. And we saw last week that the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit comes when there's unity together and they're praying together and there's all kinds of things going on and there's powerful things happening right across. But what I see, and I'm going to sort of preach a little bit from the first bit, I see boldness. I see people taking hold of boldness and absolutely going for it. There's Peter, he's boldly speaking. He preaches. He suddenly finds himself, his preaching voice. And he stands up in Acts 2 and he stands up in Acts 3 and delivers incredible sermons, incredible truth. I see bold healings happen all over. In Acts 3, you know, Peter and John heal this lame man and it gets him into all kinds of trouble. Because you know, it causes an uproar in the city and the people drag him before the court. But this guy's healed. This is not just Jesus healing. You know, we read about Jesus doing all this stuff. This is people, Jesus is dead. And this is the next chapter. And they're taking on the mandate of Jesus. And they're going, well, if Jesus did it, let's do it. They're not questioning, you know, is the age of Jesus dead? Spirit, you know. They're actually going for it, believing what Jesus told them to do. There's bold perseverance. I love it. I'm just summarizing a few things here. In Acts 4, like Peter and John end up in jail and they get released and then they go straight back into it. There's just no let up. They go, I guess we're out. All right, let's go. Let's just keep doing what we're doing, talking about Jesus. Let's keep healing people. Let's keep going for it. And the authorities are just perplexed again. Didn't we just put them in jail? And then they're out here and they're not being silent. There's bold generosity, as Michelle alluded to, and Lydia this morning. There's generous acts like Barnabas. He sells his huge tract of land in Acts 4:36. Encouragement. There's bold service. These men are anointed for serving people in Acts 6, full of God's Spirit. There's bold communication under pressure. Stephen, what a guy. He's anointed as one of these guys to serve and he's described as being full of the Spirit. And he stands up and he's being accused of all kinds of stuff and he just gives them a beautiful history lesson. Great. If you don't know much about your Old Testament, just read that, Acts 7. You'll get it. And he delivers this and he upsets people so much that they literally kill him right there, stone him to death because he's daring to say that Jesus is God. You think we live in hostile times? We don't. And there's bold obedience. Philip, one of these guys, just says, he listens to God and he ends up in Samaria and talks to this Ethiopian guy, leads him to faith in Christ. There's incredible things. If you just take one thing out of this, is boldness. These guys are bold. And I read this and it's so exciting. I think, what's the key to their boldness? Why are they so bold? Because in Acts 4:13, it says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures, and they recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. That's what gives you boldness. And how do we be with Jesus today? Well, it's through the Holy Spirit, because he tells us in John 14:26 that he sends us a helper. So this helper has come, and so whenever we get with the Holy Spirit, it's like we're being with Jesus and we get bold on the inside. And so suddenly, you know, we see this because of the Spirit's empowering, lots and lots of things happen. But I'm going to skip over a lot of things, because as I was pondering all this, I felt like the Lord said Acts 10 is a key to our city. Because I'm telling you, we are living in times, it's not out and out opposition to the message of Jesus, but it's getting there. We're getting to a stage in our world where perhaps our world isn't that friendly towards the gospel's message. And I'm not saying that people are really dying for their faith or anything like that. We might die on social media, but that's all right. But for us, it's the question is, how do we take this bold message? How do we make an open door? How do we communicate the message of Jesus when there's so much white noise out there? There's so much fluff. There's so much distraction. There's so many issues. So many things that our world picks up that they think are important and make that huge. And the real message that we have, the message of life, the one true message, gets swamped by all of the noise of our world. Do you ever feel like that? I'm thinking, how can we cut through this? How do we get through the white noise of the internet, of our world, of our friends, of the decisions of the day? This is why I'm excited about Acts 10. And I'm not following the schedule, sorry, at the back. Come over to Acts 10. Going on a different tangent. Just to annoy the people with the plan. Come over to Acts 10. Because here's the key to boldness, on unlocking doors. You know, the disciples were told to take the message. Where was it? Acts 1:8. How good your memory? Jerusalem? Judea? Samaria? Oh, look at that. That's actually the book of Acts. That's the sequence that happens. So it starts local, then goes kind of state, and then ends up the end of the world, right? Well, look what happens here. We're talking about unlocking doors in Cornelius. There was a man, Acts 10 verse 1, named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort. This is a great story. He's an Italian, he's a Roman centurion in charge of 100 people, right? He was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms, money to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. He's a Roman, right? He's occupying the territory and he gives and he prays. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. Angel appears and fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? I don't know what you would do if an angel appeared, but that's a good response. What is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms, which are gifts, have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who was also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. Got to get this. He's a Roman centurion praying. And an angel appears to him and says, really clear instructions. You need a guy called Peter. He's staying in such and such and such and such, and go and get him. Now, this is going to be weird, isn't it? I'm telling you, this is the key to unlocking something. When the angel who was speaking to him left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after he had explained everything to them, which would have been interesting, I mean, how do you explain to your personal attendants that an angel's just visited me and that you need to go and find Simon Peter, who's staying with a tanner by the sea? And, you know, they're going to think he's loopy. What's he on? The boss has gone mad. After he explained everything, he went to them. Verse 9, on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. Okay, so change scenes. That's the Roman centurion. Angels appeared to him. Now change scenes to Peter's house over here with Merv. Now Peter's up on the roof and he's a good Jew. So he's praying, prays, you know, at certain times of the day. And he's also hungry. He went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, that's midday, and he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. So he's trying to pray, but his tummy's going off and he can smell the cooking downstairs. He's up on the rooftop, you know, Middle Eastern house. He's going, oh, Lord, bless you. Oh, gosh, I'm hungry. That smells good. Oh, God. So, and then he gets so confused that he just falls asleep. Holy man he is. And he saw in this trance, verse 11, the sky opened up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were all kinds of four-footed animals, crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Now that seems like a weird thing, right? It's like this great sheet coming down from the earth, from the sky. But what it is filled with all the food, the animals that the Jews are not allowed to eat. Pigs. It says bacon. Bacon. Lobster. Prawns. Like all the things that a good Jew would never touch. And he sees them, and this is what the voice says. Get up, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, by no means. I've never eaten anything unclean. And again, a voice came to him. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, can you imagine, as a good Jew, like a real Jew, seeing this vision? Either I am completely crazy, I've been dreaming too much about lunch. Well, God is up to something. He's up to something new. He'd be pondering. Now, verse 17, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision he'd seen, behold, the men who had sent by Cornelius, having asked direction for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. Got this? We had the Cornelius thing going on over here, the Roman, and over here, Peter is getting the same thing, and now they're going to meet. Now, here comes the messenger from Cornelius' house and he knocks on the door. Now, while Peter was reflecting on the vision, verse 19, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you, but get up, go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them there myself. Far out. Have you ever had anything like that happen? Like this is a divine setup. This is amazing. Like angels arranging circumstances, crossing paths, and now something's about to unfold that's never happened before. I'm telling you. Some things are about to happen in our world that have never happened before. That's why this verse, this chapter is so key. I want you to think about your context. I want you to think about your city. Something's about to happen that has never happened before. Not because you're trying harder, not because you're doing stuff, because God is arranging things and because he's wrapping us up into his mission. This is not about us. This is about him. And I can't wait to see what he is unfolding. All we got to do is watch and follow. But I'm ahead of myself. Let's tell a story. So Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I'm the one you're looking for. For what is the reason you've come? Cornelius, a centurion, 22, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jew, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. So he invited them in and gave them lodging. Next day he got up and went away with them. And some of the brethren, the brothers and sisters from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So he goes, Peter goes with these people and goes on a journey back to Caesarea, back to the Roman's house. Something that a good Jew would never do. Back in those days, you would not go to a house of a Roman, let alone eat with them. Something's unfolding that is brand new here. And Peter entered Cornelius, 25, met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter raised him up saying, stand up, I'm just a man, you know. Here's Peter. Peter goes, no, it's not. I'm just a man, stand up. I'm not the one you should be worshipping. And he talked with him. He entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. As he walks into Cornelius' house, he sees all these people. They're gathered. They're waiting for him. There's a message coming. They know that something's happening because Cornelius has told them, I've had this visitation from an angel. There's something stirring. There's something changing. There's something shifting in the atmosphere. Something that we've all been waiting for. Cornelius says, 4 days ago to this hour, he explains, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood there in shining garments. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who's called Peter, to come. He's staying at the house of Simon in town by the sea. So I sent for you. And this is the key. You've been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have commanded by God to tell. Captive audience. Tell me, Peter, what's the message? Can you imagine that in our world today? Can you imagine all of your neighbors inviting each other and then inviting you to come and speak and sing? Tell us what's on your heart. Can you imagine your workplace? They've arranged it, and then when you walk in the door, all of your workmates, all of your school, perhaps, maybe classmates, you walk in, I go, do tell us everything that God has to say to us. Is that impossible? Just one person. Can you imagine just one person coming to you and saying, please tell me about Jesus? Just one person. Wouldn't that be incredible? Look what happens. Opening his mouth. It's a good start. Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but that in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. He's saying that it's no longer just about the Jews. Remember, we've gone from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, shifted outside of the Jewish nation. Now he gets it. It's actually this message of Jesus is not just for my people. Now I can see what Jesus has been talking about to go into all the world. Because now I get it. It's not just about my nation, but this message of Jesus is actually for the whole world. The pen is dropping in Peter's mind. And then he says, the word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus, you yourselves know the thing which took place in Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, who God anointed, and the Holy Spirit with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. We are witnesses of the things he did both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging on a cross. He summarizes the life of Jesus. Because you know these things, you've heard of them, because you can't not have heard about them. because it was crazy. He says, we are witnesses of all the things. Peter's saying, I saw them. He says, I was there. I was there when Jesus calmed the storm. I was there when Jesus fed the 5,000. I was there when Jesus healed all his people. I was there listening to the preaching of Jesus. I'm an eyewitness to it, he says. He says, God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly testify that this is the one who's been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. It's a commission of Jesus. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. That's the message. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Stop for a minute. Who's the everyone in your world? Who's the everyone who could receive forgiveness? You see, Peter would have, before he would have qualified that and thought, oh, it's probably just the Jews. Or it's probably just the good Jews, or probably just the devout ones and the ones who pray certain times of the day. And we do that too, right? The everyone who receives Jesus, it's probably just the people who are nice right now. It's not the people who, you know, do bad things. You know, mind, we disqualify people from the good news of Jesus because perhaps their appearance, or perhaps because of what they might say or do, or perhaps because of the hard time they've given us. Everyone is everyone. This message is for everyone. And that's why when Lydia's praying, it was awesome, Lydia, praying for people, you say, it's just a prayer away. That the everyone in our world could be the neighbor who's given you the hardest time. It could be the mate at uni or school who's just gone, you're a nutcase to believe in this thing. Could be your boss at work has just made it really hard for you. He says, everyone. And then something divine happens in verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. Fell. Visible. Something happened. Something shifted. Peter's just telling this message and then suddenly something supernatural comes about. There's something that just lands on the people, and he knows that because all the circumcised, I believe that's the Jews, who came with people were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them, speaking with tongues and exalting God. Now Peter's going, all right, first, he tells me to eat bacon. Now the Holy Spirit is falling upon these Gentiles. Now we don't get that because we don't live in a world of, you know, heavy discrimination like this. But in Peter's worldview, this is out of the box. This doesn't happen. Now, hang on, the Holy Spirit, aren't you the Jews, God? Can't argue with this because everybody in the room is speaking in tongues and praising God. There's a sense of God in the room. He says, all right, we'll go to the pork and I guess this is from God. Surely, he says, verse 47, surely no one can refuse the water for those to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did, can we? Suppose that we better baptize them. They're making it up as they go. There's no rule book here. They're going, well, bring out the water tub. Let's go down to the river. And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And then they asked him to stay for a few days. He gets a hard time. If you read on verse 11, you know, his friends at the council go, you did what? How did that happen? And, you know, he talks it through and it's all good, but they were as surprised as he was. The reason why this is a passage for our day is that We live in a world that needs a move of God. We live in our context, in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, our families, our schools, our universities. We need God to open a door. This message is so powerful. And sometimes we feel like it's stuck under a whole pile of other stuff. But yet this is the message of eternal life. And I know that people in this room pray and ask God, and we're sincere about wanting to invite people to church and experience. And I know that, and it's exciting. But you know what we need more and more is the power of God to move ahead of us, to change paradigms, to open doors, to make the impossible possible. And it's possible. I can't wait to see what God will do. All he's looking for is the people who have this as their mission in their heart, this desire in their heart. And I don't know how it's going to work. But I mean, I was praying for Lithgow, sir, this morning. There's something about to happen in Lithgow. I'm telling you, Avalon, there's something brewing in that city. And I don't know what it is. But let's be there. Let's go with what God is doing. Because he's stirring something. He's stirring something in the youth, Lydia. He's stirring something amongst the young adults and young kids of our church at CSU. I don't know what it's going to look like, but let's go there. Let's find out what God is doing. Let's get a sense of God, what he's doing, just like Peter, and let's just turn up. Let's just go with the Cornelius in our world. He says, hey, come and share with my family what's going on. And he goes, I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to be here, but I'll go anyway. I don't know if I fit into this world. You know, it'd be like me walking into a pub at midnight when everyone's going for it. I wouldn't be that comfortable. But that's not the point. There's some context. I'm thinking this is out of the box, but let's go there anyway. I'm praying for us, that there's a few Corneliuses in our world that the Holy Spirit is touching, and they're going to open a whole world, a whole lot of doors for the message of Jesus in places that you and I just would have no idea about. Isn't it time? Isn't it time to see what God can do? It's through the power of the Spirit, not through our own work or negotiations or scheming or dreaming, as try as we might. It's actually through the power of the Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one who gives us boldness for the mission. It's the Spirit of God who puts a drive on the inside of us to step out boldly. But I'm telling you, let's have ears to hear and eyes to see all that he's doing.
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service. Or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org.
Come like a river, come like a flood. Let us be overwhelmed, baptized in your love.